This recording is a production of the Conservative Anabaptist Education Committee. This presentation was recorded at Conservative Anabaptist School Board Institute 2022, held at Horizon Mennonite School in Hagerstown, Maryland, on March 4 and 5.
This is the session where we plan to spend some time talking about enrollment issues. And when it comes to enrollment, broad spectrum of things. Maybe you've already been looking here at the handout and the various questions that could come up with this. And it would be foolish of me to stand up here and just lecture away for the next 40 minutes or so on the way we do things here. So I want to divide this into three parts. We're going to try to define here a little bit what we mean by enrollment issues. And then I will go over a few overarching things here, and then I want to open it up. And I hope we can have discussion. I was really hoping I would get this classroom, so it feels more like you should be able to talk in here. You can have a paper there if you want.
Really?
Yeah, did you bring a pen?
Okay. Here,
have a pen.
I got one.
Okay. All right. Yeah, so... come on. I'm used to doing this where it's strangers. I got my preacher here, my brother, and my board. This is bad. Anyway. Okay. Yeah, but this is where I work, so I feel at home. Okay. So, I want to hear what your issues are. They can be as varied as some of the things Vaughn talked about here. We have three patrons that we know are very, they're really going to struggle to make tuition. What would we do there? Would we just go ahead and enroll them all? I think Vaughn actually already answered that for us. We have a family with special needs. What would we do in that case? Maybe some of you have had some experience with that. Our school, can they meet it? Can they not? What is to be considered there? We have a family who would like to enroll a foster child. We have a family who would like to enroll, but they are going to be gone for 6 weeks in the wintertime on a CAM trip. And then the more sticky ones. Those are the easy ones. The ones that are more difficult might be that we had a family that used to go to our church, and they decided for whatever reasons to kind of leave and go left. And now they have a six-year-old boy. They didn't really like our church, but they really liked our school. Oh yeah, so the heads are starting to go on that one. Uh-huh. Yeah. So what then? Okay, that would be one. Maybe. See, this word has already been used here today. We refer to them as outsiders. How do we handle the outsiders? It's really a nasty term, isn't it? To call these people outsiders. But it does define something for us, especially if we are a church school. All right, so maybe that helps you understand a little bit. And if you have some things here, a burning question that you would like some answers for, please ask it. And if you don't get a chance in this period, come and ask me. And I think I could at least know a few people that would be good resource people to talk to. Incidentally, since I just said that, there's a man coming here tomorrow. His name is Edwin Martin. Maybe some of you know him. And he works with schools and works with families trying to enroll foster children. And he would be a good resource man if any of you are having those kind of issues, okay, or concerns. All right, so let's start with a few overarching things. I talked to various people about this, and a couple things kind of rise to the top when thinking about this, and they are actually kind of common sense, but they establish a pretty important point. So if you have your handout there, there'll be these first three introductory things to consider. And we'll write those up here to begin with and think about them a little bit. Okay, when you enroll a child,
All right. Let's start over. There we go. When you enroll a child, you enroll his family. And that makes sense, right? Okay, so there's a common sense part of that, and that would be that he may have six siblings coming behind. And if the family got started with you, obviously, they're going to want to put the rest of the siblings in school too, more than likely. All right, that's one thing to consider there, but there's another one and more important, and that is that when you enroll a child, you enroll his family, and families come with lifestyles, and families come with influence. And of course, that leads us to the second point. Enrolled children become a part of the... Anyone want to guess what my next word will be? Okay, culture. That's a good word, but I'm going to use one maybe a little stranger, but it makes a point. And it took me 5 years of teaching to learn how to spell this word. And I'm still going to look. Where are we? There we are. Curriculum. Two R's, one I. Yeah, there we go. Yeah, they become a part of the curriculum. And that might strike you as kind of strange. That's actually a Joan Salyer quote. So you know there's wisdom there. But everything that you do here to teach children something is part of the curriculum. And you better believe it. Do children learn from each other? Oh, absolutely. And you know that old phrase that says, more is caught than taught. Well, that's where this comes into play. All right, and then the third one here leads us to the next section, actually. School vision. School vision determines enrollment. And if that is, I try to keep that really short, of course. But what is the purpose for your school? If you have clearly defined that purpose, then that actually is probably the number one most important thing you can do to fix enrollment issues. Right? I mean, I can't think of anything more crucial. So your purpose, your intentions, your vision for your school is going to be the overarching thing that helps you with enrollment and enrollment concerns that come up. All right, so that leads us to the next part here. A clearly stated purpose guides the enrollment policy. All right, so let's put a few things up here, a few categories. Actually, this is going to be very stereotypical. I maybe run the risk of almost being offensive here because it's so stereotypical, but I want to make two lists that will maybe help us think a little bit about, to start with here, in thinking about a purpose, what our purpose is for our school. What is your vision? And I'm not... To start with here, I am not going to say that one is better than the other. I'm just simply making two stereotypes, okay? And you've heard of these before already today, but we'll put church, and maybe I can get a better marker than Mr. Black here. He's got purple. All right, and community. Okay, so there they are. And church schools have a certain vision, a certain purpose. Community might have a different vision, a different purpose. Okay, so when you are thinking about these two stereotypes, In the church school, you might hear a lot about truth. We are about the truth. This is going to be at the top of every discussion. You know, it all truth is at the top. Okay, what do you assume is at the top of this one? Okay, I said we're being very stereotypical, so we'll say, and you could have guessed this probably. Okay, we'll say relationships. Now, these two words come up a lot in discussions, right? And we seem like we never quite know how to make them work together. They somehow always separate themselves. Truth and relationships. Okay, the church school over here, you're going to hear a lot about indoctrination, and unapologetically so. Right? We indoctrinate our children, and you better believe it. Okay? And we are almost proud of it. Okay? Maybe in a church school. Over here, there's a new word. Actually, it's not so new, but it might be new in maybe our circles. Is this idea of discovery. And the humanist would actually say self-discovery. I'll leave the word self off of it because, you know, it sounds too humanistic. Where the children are kind of led to discover these great things and determine what is special to them. And a little more freedom in that, okay? All right, another word you might hear over here is the word sheltering. Sheltering. We got this fence and there's this protection. My grandpa is dead and gone, but he would have worked in this community in the 50s with other men. And this would have been a very important word for him. They were coming out of public schools and they were very concerned about this. Okay? And now we have this very interesting thing. Because my mom went to a private Christian school that my grandpa helped start. I went to a private Christian church school all my life. And now my children are too, three generations. My grandpa, he knew people in the community. He knew last names that weren't Mennonite. But unless you work at Martin's Elevator or something, you know what? It's just really possible to not know so many community people anymore. And I have this realization because I spend 9 months out of the year back here, actually 10, my children almost don't know any outsiders. I mean, I don't really know what to do about it. They want me to teach school, right? But yeah, they don't know many outsiders. Okay? So that is a result of this, you know, the shelter. What will you hear over here? Over here, you'll probably hear more about outreach. There's a new fascination with going out into the culture and making a difference in the culture, making a difference in society, influencing. We have an influence, right? Let's go out there and influence and make a difference. So you'll hear that here. Another buzz term that you might hear is we are more alike than different. Ever hear that? We are more alike than different. Let's celebrate the fact that we are more alike than different. You might hear that more over here. And I was thinking about another buzzword. This has got to be the number one buzzword in our culture right now. It's the word safe. Right? How often has the word safe entered into discussions? And it's interesting to think about how these two different stereotypes would think about the word safe, right? What's safe for these people? Well, it's this whole sheltering thing. What's safe for these people? Well, hopefully it's healthy. I don't know. But if you get into the really liberal influence of this in the humanistic world and in the whole world of discrimination and all of that, they're looking at this and saying this is a very toxic environment. And that's not safe. So two different ideologies of looking at the word safe. You have that. Okay, now, there's two stereotypes, and when you think about your school,
it probably doesn't, you know, your school probably is somewhere of a mix. But maybe not. Maybe we have some here that are really just, I mean, you know you're a church school. We might even have a few here that are saying, we're really excited about this. Probably all of you would say that there's some value to these different things. Maybe you would like to think of it as a left and a right and a balance. I don't know. But probably you would say this is a number one priority. And this is somewhere of a number two. Does that resonate? Okay, it's got some value, but we're going to keep it number two. And I, you know, as I think about our school, that's what I think about. I think about that we care pretty deeply about these things. And this would be a one. And this would be a two. And some of us would say it's a pretty distant two. And there are some young people who are really excited, and there are even some older ones, about the possibilities of this, and it's really creeping up and becoming very close to, maybe even overlapping some. You know, and just as a guide, do you have anyone in your area that they don't use the word church too much in their talk anymore? Instead, they talk about community. Have you heard that? You know, there's a growing use of this word instead of this word. I don't know if you've thought about that, but that is kind of happening. Okay, so we're talking more about community. And so with that comes stuff down here. All right. Now, maybe I should just stop and kind of open it up. Let's see. One important question we could say at this point, when you're thinking about those two stereotypes and however you fit into all that, is what do you want from patrons in your school? What do you want from them? What would an interview look like with them? Do you want support? Or do you want something more than support? Is support enough? And while you're thinking about that, I wonder if we haven't maybe used the word support too much. And maybe we should be using another word or thinking about some other term. And I'll just add this to the list yet. If you find yourself really excited about this set of values, about these things, when you sit down to have an interview with a parent who is wants to come to your school, you are probably more interested in support. Will you support us? Will you support us financially? Will you support our program? Will you come to PT meeting? Will you help with meals, fundraisers, field trips? Will you help with events? Will you support us? Will you get behind us? That kind of support. And of course, all the things that the school wants to do, will you support? This, if your school is really dedicated to this stereotype, and you know it, and deep down you're like, that's what we are. We're not sure about this. This is us. Then should you really be talking about support in an interview with a family who wants to come to your school? Is it fair to them to just say, will you support us? Okay, so let's just think about this a little bit. They maybe left and your church or something. And they went left, okay? And now they want to come back. Or they're part of, they're maybe good members in good standing at another church. And now they want the benefit of your school. And so you know that there's going to be people, patrons in your school that are a little bit concerned about this. Is it fair to them in a interview to just say, will you support us? I think we use that word a lot. Will you support us? We want your support. And I think that those patrons probably come
and they've had this discussion amongst themselves, you know, like, you know, we don't, you know, we don't quite do things the way they do, but when, if we send our children there, we're really going to have to support them. So in their minds, they're thinking, we got to support. But there are people over here that that's probably not going to be enough. Support will not be enough. If you know that there is I don't know what percentage to give it, of other patrons in this school that would be concerned about that, you probably should be having a very straightforward talk about values. Or maybe another word is practices. And this, I think, has probably caught some patrons unaware. They were coming thinking that the discussion was going to be about giving good support. And instead they sat down in the interview and suddenly, we're talking about directions we're going in life. We're talking about convictions that we have. We weren't quite expecting this. Oh, this matters. Okay, then maybe this is not, and here's another phrase that you hear today a lot, maybe this isn't a good fit for us. You hear that? That's another buzz term. All right, so this is not, and actually I like that term. You might as well have a discussion. Are we really a good fit for each other? Or is this not gonna go well? You know what? I don't know what you think, but if you happen to be a school here that is really dedicated to this, I don't think you have to apologize for that. I have one of my questions here. What are the pros and cons of a very closed enrollment policy? And I kind of mean by that something like this. It's not, you know, not so open to considering outside influence, a lot of emphasis on shelter. I don't know that you need to apologize for that. There are a lot of options today. We have more options in education than we ever had. And so if you have a closed policy, just make that clear right up front. Don't start playing around with, well, could this work? Well, if they give us support, that'll be good. It might not be. You might be 6 years into it and wish you'd had a good, frank discussion about lifestyle and influence and values and practices. All right, I rambled on there a while. And if I didn't make it clear, part of this, thinking about these words up here, is a discussion that we must have in our communities that whatever we are, we make it very clear and communicate it well. So that someone looking on it, okay, you know, that's probably not going to work for us. This is straight up front. You can save a lot of concern issues if you have that communicated clearly. So a clearly stated purpose should guide every enrollment policy. Now, oh boy, I wrote this thing and I already forget what time I'm closing. Let's see here, 3:45. Okay, yep, that's about right. Okay, what would you like to discuss? I can take the questions in any order. They can be questions on here. They can be questions that you have. But let's have some discussion.
Question, Brother Clifford. You talk about a lot of other options, and that might be true of Hagerstown or Lancaster somewhere. But some of us are faced with the option of public school or our small church school.
Okay. All right. I was thinking also like homeschooling, and that has become like a pandemic has really kind of exploded the homeschooling thing, right? Yeah. So more people are trying that. At the same time, more people are exploring other options. Okay, good question. You have some thought about that?
We're grappling.
Yeah, okay. All right. Yeah, that's right. That's probably true to my community.
So we have someone that goes out in left field, leaves our church, and then wants to send them back. And so we have this discussion with them. And they're clearly living their values Their lifestyle has changed, but yet we come back and we say, well, we're going to do this value practice. And they say, well, that is our value, but clearly they're not living that. Then what? Is it our job to say, well, we're not going to roll you because of this? Or do we? Yeah, it'd be a question I would have.
Mm-hmm. To just get really brave and say, you're not a good fit for us.
Yeah.
It's just too hard. You really want them to realize that. That's what you want. It really is hard to just look right at them and say, you know, this might not work. Okay, we have another question, but we'll keep that going.
You could say that compliance is mandatory. If you're the school board interviewing a patron, I actually thought there would be great compliance underneath that last one, because on the church side, because the value and the practices, they require compliance.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're not willing to comply to the practice, then maybe we aren't a good fit for you.
Sometimes these patrons can, if you're in the middle of a discussion about those kind of things right here, they may look and say, well, yeah, we line up with about what you all are. You know, your young people and us, they're about the same. Ouch. And so what does the board member just kind of pinch their lips and say, yeah, we know. There is actually one difference there, and that is that maybe we are concerned about our young people and their values, but there is one difference. And that is that our young people that we are concerned about, they still are in our church on Sunday morning. We still are hopefully working with them, hopefully. We still can speak into their lives. And we hope to bring them to maturity. We hope to. But the people that have left, that's outside of our grasp. Outside of when they come to school, now you got to straighten up here, you're at our school. Yeah, that would be one possible difference, but that is frustrating.
Maybe just an observation. After you started out there, number three, school vision determines enrollment. And as I observe, look at it, it's either one or another. Either you're, you said don't use that word safe, either you're safe haven or you're mission field. And I've not seen it work too good to be too much of a hybrid. Either I have to have a policy that this is an outreach, or else it's more of a church school. I don't know if it's true or false, but that's what I'm trying to see.
Okay, so this hybrid thing is frustrating. You almost said a quote that you hear a lot. Our children are not missionaries, they are a mission field. You hear that sometimes. And that I have found that is actually quite controversial. Some people say, oh, absolutely. In fact, I've heard some people very passionately, our children are not missionaries, they're a mission field. And I mean, they're really strong on that. If you have a lot of people like that in your community, I think you better stay right here. But then there are others who say, wait a minute. There is nothing like positive peer pressure. And so they're hoping that, you know, a lot of nucleus families with good, stable homes, that they will somehow rescue. Hey, I don't know if you walk past that little display out there in the hall, the 56-year history of our school. But I could take you out there, and we could have a 20-minute discussion right there in front of those glass windows. The home trumps the school. The percentage is staggeringly high. And that is both negative and positive, okay? So I might be getting into some of my other questions here. But we do this funny hybrid thing, and we have for years because of what Elmer Glick said here, that when we started our school many years ago, there weren't many options. And so we allowed other families to kind of come in and benefit. Okay? Now, we look at all those families and we think, did our school make a difference? Did we change the trajectory?
And the reality is, man, I would really have to stop and think to find one. Okay, maybe we messed up. Maybe we didn't pray enough. Maybe we didn't work hard enough. Maybe we didn't use the right kind of curriculum. I don't know. Okay, but we just were not able to do it. The thing that is encouraging to me at the same time is that families who were stable and were trying to do the right thing, and even some that maybe weren't so stable, those few children that we were not able to change a trajectory, it's not like they really took a whole bunch more with them. If a family was very serious about serving God, they sent their children to Hewitt's Mennonite School with a few others that were, I mean, they told their dirty jerks in the restroom and whatever and were kind of a bad influence. Those children are still with us today, in spite of that hybrid influence. Now, yeah, there might be one or two.
And I might add one other thing with that, kind of looking at it from different, not just on that, as it works. So then how do you do it? So like at our school, we have the fathers coming for devotions and help hotlines, that sort of thing. So we started down the church. So if we had a Baptist family coming up, well, you know, we didn't ask the father to come in and have devotions, but the mother still was coming in to help with hot lunch. You know, and there's, you know, sharing the load with the other patrons. So then some of the patrons are almost, you know, well, there's this back and forth. That's why I'm saying it's probably better one or the other, not the higher.
Okay.
Because
hey.
Policy gets murdered.
I know. That's what makes. Yeah. And so one of my questions is, can you make an enrollment policy that covers every situation?
No.
No, you can't. But if you want to get really close, stay really firmly over here. And make that simple. They call, you know, we're a church-run school, and, you know, and that's us. And that's probably about as simple as you're going to get. Or we only open up to, you know, people that we share pulpits with or something like that. That's another fascinating term, share pulpits with. So, yeah. His question here about should the Baptist dad come in for devotions?
What do you think? Glad to share our pulpit.
Yes, he would. Yeah.
We have an Amish man that has devotions at our school.
So you're okay with the Amish man?
We have a Russian dad that's welcome. A lot of times he don't show up because he's English and broke up so bad you can't understand him. But he's right on the schedule.
Yeah. Okay. Do you gain more by keeping him off of there or by running the risk that he might say a few things that's also in your Abeka history book?
Where is the line then? We have a couple of dads in our school that are unfaithful to their wives. One was on for a while, and without any kind of policy, he just kind of disappeared again.
Yeah, that happens. He probably did the right thing because the children do understand that. Yeah.
Just a comment.
Yeah, sure.
I think we need to be careful that we don't think that people with different values are the ones that pollute our children, and our children don't have it in themselves.
Yeah.
And I think we all know that. But it can be, maybe, it depends on what we're talking about. Are we talking about people that are, well, are they conservative Baptists yet? Well, maybe, sort of ish, maybe, versus someone that's clearly not part of our faith tradition, or someone that's part of any faith tradition. And I don't know which is easier to work with.
Yeah, that's a good question. I'm not sure.
This Baptist family was actually worried about that influence, for their minimum, children have the influence of YouTube and videos and some of that and what have
what
you.
What the world?
And they
really
don't have that in their home. They don't even have smart kids.
I think you better have him have devotions.
Yeah.
Question here.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was one of my questions. It has worked well in years, some years ago. I mean, I've heard cases where it worked well, but a lot of times one of the requirements is, you know, if there's no television at home, and the fear is, you know, what are these children going to bring? Well, now I'm like, yeah, you know, there's even some Mennonites that, you know, yeah, we wouldn't have TV, but, oh, yeah, YouTube's fine. So, I mean, how are you going to, there's all kinds of media now that children can have that come into your school. It might be a little more tough today than it was 10 years ago, and knowing what these children are doing in school.
Yeah. And my high school students that sit in this room, they kind of laugh at that TV rule. I mean, they're on YouTube. But I don't know, you're going to have to start doing a Hezekiah prayer if we're going to cover that one.
Question six, have you ever actually tried a trial basis and then said that doesn't work, you'll find school somewhere else? I mean, if you can't ask all the right questions during an interview, do you just try it and then let the chips fall where they may? I mean, is that disruptive? Or have you known that in your
child? Well, I know of some schools, and I just talked to a man here a little bit yesterday about this, that did the hybrid, did the, you know, let's get excited about this and let's get some, you know, and then ran into some really, really doozies. And so they began to experiment with the idea of if there is some concern. And you can even be right up front with the parents and say, look, you know, we've been trying this for a couple of years and we've run into some struggles and, you know, we would never want to believe that you would, you know, be like that or anything. But just to make sure, let's try just enrolling your children in grades 1 through 6. And that at least gives you 6 years to see where trajectories go, or maybe 1 through 8. And because we are concerned about our young people in high school, because of the church you've decided to go to, the things that you've decided to be a part of, the liberties that you allow, high school will not be an option for you. Okay, so that's something that is being tried. But it's an effort to communicate clearly right up front. Because once you let them in, all discussion, then relationships start getting built. And it's a whole lot harder to shut it down after relationships have been built than if you just said something right from the beginning.
We, in our school, we're probably a little bit of a hybrid, not too, a little bit. But one thing this year we had two families that sent their children there, and we had concerns about both of them. But what we did was we kind of did a 3 strikes and you're out. Some of the concerns. We were like, okay, if these issues, we see these issues come out, then we will deal with it. And we did it on a 1-year basis, where we'll revisit that next, before we enroll next spring. I don't know, it's just something that I think is going to work for us.
Yeah, and were they fine with that? Was that, you were clear up front with it, and so that was the expectation. Yeah, did I have someone, go ahead.
At a Casby meeting a few years ago, I remember someone said in their school they only take children from outside their church starting in first grade. That's the only place they can start in their school in first grade. And he said that eliminates so much of their issues because first grade is older.
Okay. How about that? Yeah. Okay.
What about someone that wants to send their special needs child?
Okay.
How do you handle that if you don't have the teacher qualified?
Yeah. Well, you know, we've done some interesting things here. We do have some special needs capabilities. That makes it a little bit different. But I remember 1 year we had 2 students who were both strugglers, borderline, yeah, strugglers for sure. And so we did something kind of unique. We actually advanced the one, but the other one repeated so that they would not always be in the same grade, draining the teacher. But there had to be this careful and well-communicated thing why the one advanced and the other one didn't. And there was a, I mean, you can see it on paper. It's not like they were even keel. Okay. I wondered already if that was smart or if it was the right thing. That's one thing we've done, just to keep them spread a little bit. So that, if you don't have resource, anyone want to speak to that? Yes, go ahead.
A number of years ago, we took a child with Downs into our school, and we had this long discussion. We hired a teacher to take care of just that one child, and the church and the family worked together for the extra. But I was amazed at what that did for the whole student body, just having that child in school.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as qualified teachers, I became convinced that our teachers showing tender, loving care can do a whole lot more than the best qualified public school special needs teacher.
Yes. So there is something important. What do the parents want? Do they just want this special needs person to have a good environment and friends and social life? Or are they obsessed with getting this poor special needs person to be educated and academically? And that can factor into that. Yeah, and so, you know, another person to talk to is Anthony. They've tried that. Anthony Hurst, they've had some special needs.
We have a first grader with cystic fibrosis and a fifth grader with brittle bone syndrome. And both of them struggled somewhat in school also, but I guess their families had come to school with their older children, so, and they would like their younger one to go, so it's something we decided we would do.
Yeah.
It costs extra, and it's just, but what is, I mean, what school is here to make money?
That's right. Yeah.
I would say if we're a church school, we don't have a choice.
That's right. That's what that's about.
Yeah.
I mean, there's more in that package than what we wrote up there on the board, for sure. Yep.
We have a kindergartner that we told can't come back. A little autistic and, she had a full-time babysitter and she didn't learn anything this year.
Okay.
She learned.
Sometimes you have to do that. So there you had to weigh the cost of whether it was really being effective. And
our approach was, we can't help this child. It's in the child's best interest not to come back.
Okay.
Because we're not going to.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not sure. I think there was some delayed learning, a little autistic, a little lack of discipline at home. And there was multiple issues. But that was the approach we took on that. Mm-hmm. But I don't think it's a one-size-fits-all.
No, absolutely not. No. Yep.
Well, we have a kindergarten right now. He's 2 years behind, but he don't know how to write, and they've done brain balance on him already. And, I mean, he can make some numbers or whatever, but when you look at the right angle to see what the numbers should be, what they should be, so what do you do with something like that? What is the point where you say you can't help them, or you say you can give them another year? And then we have a few students in there that they can't work that well, and so now we're at the point where they just, it's kind of freewheeling. They just got to go through school, and they just learn what they can, and then go on. I don't know if that's the best way to do it or not.
You're not the only one here shaking your head and wondering. I promise you. Yes.
Are there parents interested at all in vocational training? How much vocational training, self-help training? That's what we need to focus on with those types of children. And that's what's going to help them later in life and help their parents get through life with them. If they can tie a shoe or pull their sock on, that kind of stuff. And I don't know if you can do that in your school,
right?
But that's what I would.
Thank you. Yeah. So there again, a very frank discussion with the parents. What do you want? And yeah.
I guess it depends on whether it's somebody that you're in church or whether it's from the community. But I guess I've seen enough people that have struggled in school and have gotten the help that they needed and where they went in their life that I feel it's we need to pour all the resources in those children that we can, take them as far as we can. But I do think that if it is somebody that's in the community, that would be looked at very closely. I've just been amazed at where some of these students that struggled in school had that tender, loving touch. Maybe it wasn't the perfect educator from where they went.
Yeah. Well, that opens up a whole nother, workshop in itself of special needs. Yeah, I couldn't imagine that those concerns would come up. Well, now you have all the answers. The bell rang, but maybe there's something else, or maybe we left something hanging. Did we leave something hanging?
Did you put that quote up there on the right to match up with column two or what? Just curious.
This one? My bulletin boards? This one here? There is more to be expected from uncultivated land than from old exhausted soil. Do y'all know who Christian Burkholder is? You want to tell us who he is?
Well, I never met him.
No, you didn't.
First semester of this school year, we were focusing on his life.
Yeah.
Books about him by Romain Stauffer.
Right.
He's the patriarch of the Burkholder families in Lancaster County, and I don't know what more you're thinking.
Well, I wonder if Sermon on the Mount maybe has his book over here. I don't know. But it's a good story. Anyway, he carried it.
Burkholder's here. Amos, why don't you tell us?
Yeah, it's your...
You're doing just fine.
Yeah. Yeah, so that is about young people. He's referring to young people and old exhausted men. That's really, and he was making a farming analogy. Yeah. Yeah. Did you want to wax elegant on that, by the way?
No. I think sometimes there's the mindset, though, and I'm taking it out of context by here for problem two, is that we've got, you know, what we have is just old and antiquated, we're going to be doing better, reaching out.
So,
consequently, the motives actually just kind of mess it up.
Yes. If you are going to have success here, if you want to go chase all this stuff, I'm telling you, you better have one serious passion for growing the Church of Jesus Christ. Because if this is all about reacting from this, then it's going to fail. Can I say it that strongly? I mean, things just don't happen in reaction. So make sure this is, yeah, okay, yes.
I'll say it quickly. There is a very conservative community that I know of that instead of doing a hybrid, did two schools. They came out through the pandemic. They had a daycare center, and the parents wanted more than that, so they started first grade, second grade out of the daycare. And so now today that church is operating a community daycare school, and they have a church school. And never the two cross.
And so there are people teaching that school.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's interesting.
But their children don't get it.
That's correct.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you. It was a good discussion. Enjoyed it. This discussion does not have to end. And I don't feel like we answered all the things, but continue to wrestle with it.